It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1.
Happy Thursday. Welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you. 2 hours of sports talk for you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in hour number two. A lot to get to today is more UGA roster news. We'll get into that in a bit. The Hawks won last night. We'll continue to talk college basketball begrudgingly. And I've got a story. I'm saving it to the last segment of this hour. And it's not a story about the story. But it's just another example of why I'm glad Georgia won a national championship. Because lately I've started to run into like more reasons why I wish they hadn't. Like, for example, I like to troll Bill about Arch Manning. And I wanted Arch Manning to be the one to break the national championship streak. So that would be a reason I wish they hadn't won the national championship.
There you go.
But there are more reasons why I'm glad they are. And this is one of those. It's a new one. It's a twist. I didn't even know we were going to talk about this until probably 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Because I saw the story.
And you haven't told me.
No. So. I like keeping things from you. I like springing it on the air. It's not a big surprise, though. Don't get your hopes up. But we start with the transfer portal news that broke yesterday. And really, it's almost like let's do this in two different ways. First, let's do the Stetson Bennett, JT Daniels. Then we'll do the Jermaine Burton conversation. JT Daniels is reportedly in the transfer portal. It's still not showing up on 247, by the way. And the reason I'm not saying he isn't, I mean, obviously a ton of people reported that yesterday. And the 247 portal isn't the actual portal. And I know that reporters aren't supposed to have access to the portal, but I'm sure they do. More than likely JT Daniels is in the portal, but he'll have to sit out a year. That's why I'm surprised this happened now. And Seth Emerson reported yesterday that he can finish up his degree by May. So I would imagine he's not going to want to transfer until after that, so he can at least apply for a waiver since he's a graduate. And graduates usually get a waiver. Right?
Right.
I mean, I to be honest with you, I up until yesterday, I thought that was just an automatic. You get a degree, you can play. But apparently you have to apply for that waiver. So, you know, we'll see. So in other words, I don't think we'll know where JT Daniels is actually going for about four more months.
No, I think he's going to finish his he's just not going to be with the football team.
Right.
I think he's going to finish getting his degree in Athens.
So do you let him practice as like a preferred walk-on?
I wouldn't.
You got to move on from that.
I mean, look, no. If you're not going to be part of the team in 2022, you can't take part.
No, I was just kidding. Yes. I was kidding. I mean, how many schools have a former five-star high school quarterback walking around campus not participating in spring practice?
Not many. Might be the one and only.
Dude, if I had an intramural flag football team, talk about some dirty recruiting?
Yes.
Ooh, I'd be pulling out every stop in the book, man.
What kind of beer do you like?
So anyway, and then on the heels of that came the announcement that Stetson Bennett is coming back. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that these announcements came within minutes of each other. I mean, we're still not exactly sure what Stetson Bennett meant by can he trust the coaches. But I have to believe that being the starting quarterback, or at least the starting quarterback going into spring, had to be one of the criteria for Stetson Bennett. Because the second JT Daniels announced he was transferring, Stetson Bennett announced on Instagram he's coming back.
Those two guys seem like they like each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they talked about this and maybe planned it that way. I don't think there's any animosity between the two of them.
No.
It feels like maybe they talked about it and planned this out. But, you know, as soon as the JT news happened, it was, what was it, 10 minutes later?
If that, yeah.
The Stetson news came out, too. So,
Well, you know, I don't know where JT Daniels ends up. I guess everybody's always going to be looking for a quarterback. But as for the University of Georgia going into spring practice, unless Caleb Williams comes to UGA, there's no conversation
right
about who the starting quarterback is. And
I'm starting spring.
Right. Right, and I'm not surprised that there are people disappointed by this, but I really thought maybe stupidly, one of the things I've been saying is the last few months is, you know, one of the mistakes I've made is I used to think that it was about winning, like it was all about winning. It's always about winning, but all about, and it's not all about winning.
No, it's not.
But I kind of in that same vein, stupid me thought if he won the championship and was the offensive player of the game that would put this to bed. But obviously, even after the championship game, there were people saying that he should just walk off into the sunset. Why don't people want him back as the quarterback? What else do you need to see?
We talk about, and it goes to your point, we talk about this a lot. And it's kind of for the two FBS teams, or two Power Five teams in our state. There's four FBS teams. But for the two Power Five teams in our state, you think, if it's all about winning, then what are we doing? Right? If for Georgia Tech, if it was all about winning, and then you make the change and then it's not working out, well, when are you going to respond to that? And then here, if it's all about winning, and look, I think the coaches are all about winning. I don't think there's any doubt. That's all Kirby Smart. I mean, Kirby Smart wants his guys to graduate, and he wants them to be good citizens and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But Kirby Smart is not going to let this guy was a five-star coming out of high school override who's the better quarterback now. He's going to play the better player. And he played the better player. And they won the national championship. And there are still people, and I'm not grouping all Georgia fans, because I think
it's not 99%
of them.
Oh, I don't think it's that high.
You think?
Oh, no.
95%.
I mean, why would players currently on the team on social media come out to this morning and last night and make comments about how they can't believe what they're seeing on message boards? I mean, it's loud enough that players are responding to it.
Yeah, and see, I don't want to – I don't like making stereotype comments. But message board guy?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's that.
You really can't let message board guy color your opinion of a fan base.
No, right. Absolutely not. No.
So I think message board guy is a and look, there's people out there that I look at message boards every once. I don't write on them, but I read them. I don't dare write on them. My nephew writes on a message board like 5 times a day. I'm like, dude, you need to get a life. But so I'm not trying to disparage people who take part in message boards, but you're not the majority. You are the minority. Most people don't know what a message board is and wouldn't know how to get on it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's well, that's you gotta be, we could they go down be a whole nother rabbit message. Hole there, right. but I want
to. But I'm saying the players, right, the players are seeing it and they're responding to it.
It's
probably 90% Georgia fans would love to have Stetson back.
I would think so. But anyway, but then you go to Jermaine Burton, who's transferring away, which comes as a little bit of a surprise.
That was a surprise.
Well, and then there was speculation that, you know, is it because the receivers coach went to LSU? And we were told, no, that's not the case at all. It's because he preferred JT Daniels as the quarterback. I don't know if that's true.
Wow.
But it boggles. Like, I'm telling you, man, recruiting in college football and the way it skews opinions of what happens on the field is out of control.
It is.
Like, we have reached a point where you can visually watch something happen. And I get the pushback all the time because I've been talking about how the recruiting rankings are bunk for decades. But it's to the point now where I could look at somebody and say, well, they did win the national championship with a two-star quarterback, and he was the offensive player of the game. Well, yeah, but, I mean, like, it happened.
Well, they'll discredit what he did, and they'll say it was all about the defense.
Like, that's where we're at. We are officially at the point where I'm telling you the sun comes up in the east, and you're saying, well.
We got the NFL playoffs coming up and continuing this week. You remember Tom Brady's first championship? He wasn't a big part of that team.
No.
Does he not count that one in the seven?
Well, everybody that likes to call him an animal compares him to it.
He's got seven Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The first one, he didn't do anything.
Oh, he completed those passes.
Well, but the defense was Hall of Fame defense.
You could say that about all seven.
Well, exactly. You know.
The Falcons blew
28-3 lead. Pete Carroll didn't give it to Marshawn.
Yes.
Don't get me started on this.
The one time where he threw 90 touchdowns, they lost in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's Buck Blue. Do people disparage Buck Blue?
Yes.
I do, because I think it's funny.
Yes.
I almost got in a fight with his brother one time, but and so it's a little personal.
That's a great story.
But I like Buck. I thought Buck was a fine college quarterback, but he didn't do a whole lot on that team other than give the ball to Herschel. But nobody walks around going, oh, I didn't want Buck back that next year. No. You know why? Because they won the championship.
Well, I wasn't. I don't remember that far back. But it blows my mind. But you know what? Who cares? Stetson Bennett's coming back. Stetson Bennett's the quarterback. I hope he wins the damn Heisman Trophy.
I feel sorry. I don't feel sorry for him because the kid's got a pretty good life.
Right.
But, my God, what else does he have to do? You have not – this family – and, again, I'm not talking about all of you because I think the majority of you are wanting back. And – I'll get to something else in a minute. It's been 40 years. All you talked about for 40 years is, oh, I can't wait till we win another one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't, whatever it takes to win another one. And then he helps you win it. And it's not like he played like crap against Alabama the other night.
Right.
Or against Michigan.
Right.
And now you don't want him back. If you're that guy, don't call us. You know,
Thanks.
You always tell me nobody listens to me when I say call.
We'll officially be off the rails in the second hour because Daniel told everybody not to call.
No. Not everybody. That fan and Ken from Macon Cumming, don't call. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. But, you know, you always tell me when
call twice, Ken.
When I have somebody that I feel vehemently about something and I tell call because I want to talk to him. And you say they never call.
Yeah, that guy's never called.
I don't want those people to call because I don't want to have to call somebody an idiot on our show.
You just did.
And if you don't want Stetson back, I don't know what to tell you. And if you don't want him back, is it because there's 4 and 5 stars behind him? You've never seen those kids play a college football game.
You're right. They haven't played. That's a great point. We're going to take a break.
I will take a breath.
Yeah, Daniel needs to calm down. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Hawks, but I do want to say this before we go to break. I will take 2-star fired up Daniel over 5-star salty Russ any day of the week.
I am stunned that this is where we are. I know, but it's not where we are. It's where
a few people are. But it's loud enough that players feel like they have to say something about it.
I know there were people that didn't be like, I hope he moves on. But – That it got that loud to where the players had to respond?
Yeah.
Whew.
Yep. That's where we're at. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We'll talk about the Atlanta Hawks. They won last night. Yay, Hawks. We'll talk about that and more as we calm Daniel down right after this. /11:17 Russ and Daniel back with you here at Midday Sports Zone, by the way. J-Rad on Twitter says that, J-Rad in real life says via Twitter, dude won a national championship. He's my man.
No matter what. J-Rad has common sense, too.
And from the secret text line, Ken says, despite being hurt, that was a top 10 segment. So, well done, sir.
I can't take
any of the credit for that.
I just throw that in there because I know he's listening, and I just like to troll him.
Obviously. And I felt a lot like Buck Ballou in that last segment. I was just handing you the ball.
Yes.
And letting you run with it.
Of course, I fumbled it.
And I think people underestimate the footwork that goes into that. Like, you don't just turn around and here's the ball. Like, it's a little bit more complicated than that. I've never played quarterback, but I've seen the footwork that goes into it.
Yes.
And I'm kind of clumsy, so, hey. All right. Let's get to the Hawks. They won last night. 134-122 was the final. And it was really Trae Young just went nuts in the third quarter to lead the Hawks back from a deficit and then really pull away from the T-Wolves. He had 37 points and 14 assists. 23 of those points came in that third quarter. Anthony Edwards was also tossed in that third quarter. Karl Anthony Towns probably should have been tossed. I mean, to quote Steve Holman, he tried to kick him in the congwoos. obviously the Hawks got under the T-Wolves' skin last night in a big way, and they were really frustrated. But it was a good win for the Hawks. Trae Young says he's not ready to say they've turned the corner. I am. I thought it was a really good win last night. I think that they've. I mean, I know they haven't won back-to-back games in a long time, and it had been since November since they won a home game. And that's all part of this. Those streaks are going away, which is good. But to me, it's not as much about that as it's who they've beaten. I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're under 500 now. But you know how it is in the NBA. That's a solid basketball team.
It is. And a lot of size, too, with them.
And
too.
A team that this team wasn't beating 2 weeks ago.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's a good win. Beating the Bucks the other night, obviously, was a really, really good win. And then hopefully this team can get on a little bit of a run here and start to look like the team we thought it would be. But, you know, it hadn't been that this year. They got the Heat coming up Friday. The Heat are playing really well. I mean, the Heat have really gone on a run here. Now they're tied for first place in the Eastern Conference because they've played so well the last few weeks. They've won 6 out of 7. After they had lost a couple in a row, but even before that losing streak, they won 5 in a row. So, you know, you look, I mean, at them, since the middle of December, the Heat have only lost 4 games. They've really gone on a run here. So this is going to be a big test coming up tomorrow night for the Hawks. But, you know, that's and then you got Charlotte and Sacramento and Boston, some teams that you should beat.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the team everybody thinks you are, you should beat those teams.
Right, and that goes back to last night's game with Minnesota. You've got a team coming in, granted they're 500, they've got Karl Anthony Towns, they've got Anthony Edwards. They just beat the Knicks at Madison Square Garden the night before, so it's not just a pushover. However, they had just beaten the Knicks in Madison Square Garden the night before. You get a team coming to town off of back-to-back when you last played at home on a Monday, if you're that team, like you're saying, you're supposed to win that game.
Yep.
And they did that, and they haven't been doing it. Nate McMillan used the short rotation again, and so he kind of went to this on Monday against Milwaukee where they ended up playing, you know, more than just 8 guys. But as far as significant minutes in the game are concerned, Gallinari with 25 off the bench, Lou Williams 15 off the bench, Wright 19 off the bench. So he shortened that rotation in these last 2 games, and it really seems to be working. And I guess the question for me moving forward is, what happens when Bogey and Capella get back? You know, do you sacrifice? I guess Gallinari's going to play, right? So you're not taking him out of the way
unless he gets traded.
There's always the possibility of a trade. But Lou Williams and DeLon Wright, I guess, do their minutes go away? Because I'm saying keep the 8-man rotation. And while we're changing things up a bit here. I don't know how you manage this with the starting lineup, but if you're not finding minutes for Onyeka Okongwu, you're doing it wrong.
Yes. I am a big fan of him. And, Russ, that goes back to last year when they were playing Giannis in the finals. And he made Giannis uncomfortable. How many guys defensively can make Giannis uncomfortable? Matt and I were talking about this morning. We were watching NBA game time or whatever it's called on the NBA network where they show the previous night's highlights. Giannis is the best player in the NBA. I know there's better scorers, and I know, you know, KD's a better scorer, LeBron's still in the league. I get that. But as far as overall offense, defense, rebounding, everything, being a leader, Giannis is the best player in the league. And Okongwu made him uncomfortable last year in the playoffs.
Yep.
And he, you know, remember what he said the other night? I know how to defend.
Mm-hmm.
That kid gets it.
He's growing up right now.
He knows what his – now, and 5 years from now when he develops an offensive game, maybe it's different. But his ticket in the NBA right now is getting after people.
Well, he did
and
it.
And he does it.
He did it to Giannis on Monday.
Yes, he did.
And then he did it to Karl Anthony Towns last night.
Yep.
And two different styles of player. I mean, you know, he's 6'8". You know, so he doesn't have the great height. He's 240.
He's strong as an ox.
But he's strong. Yes. He can defend taller players. He can stick with wings like Giannis. I mean, that guy needs to be in the starting lineup. You know, and when you go into any contest, it just Onyeka gets the best offensive player for the other team. And then you figure out the other four. I mean, we know, look, John Collins and Trey Young are going to be on the floor. I mean, I'm not saying you would go away for that. But you come up, in their next game, they're taking on Brooklyn, right? So, okay.
Or no, Heat. The Heat.
Oh, was I looking at Minnesota's schedule?
Tomorrow night. The Hawks play the Heat tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. I was looking. I'm sorry. My apologies. I clicked on the Minnesota schedule. Yeah, they're playing the Heat. So whoever Miami's best offensive player is, if it's a small forward to a center, Onyeka Okongwu gets that guy. Then you figure out the rest.
I'm with you. I agree. If he's not in the starting lineup, he's got to be in the main rotation.
He's got to be in I think he's got to get starters minutes now. And look, it's not going to be hard right now, obviously, with Capella out.
Capella's out, right.
But I mean, Capella's been kind of meh all year. And he's dealt with injuries. He's dealt with COVID. So maybe for Capella, it's not, you know, hasn't really had a chance to be 100% healthy. But remember, before the COVID stuff, when it was the defensive effort, Capella was one of the people that Chris Kerstner was talking about where he's just hasn't been the same player this year. And look, this franchise, they proved it last year. And when Travis Schlenk called this team out on an Atlanta radio station about 3 weeks ago, these guys aren't – this front office, this ownership group, they're just not going to sit back and wait. So if Okongwu is doing it now, let's go.
We were talking about Kirby earlier, best guy plays. If Okongwu is the best player at his position – and he gives you something that you need, and he doesn't take away from the other player's strengths, right? He's not going to go out and need 15 shots. He doesn't need the ball in his hand. He's going to defend and rebound and play hard, and they need that.
So let me ask you this, Coach Shirley, do you put him on Jimmy Butler? I mean, let's go, right? He just did it to Giannis. He just did it to Karl-Anthony Towns. Let's go.
Jimmy Butler's really good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But let's see. Let's find out.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
I put him on Bam.
Okay.
I put him on Bam and let somebody else got to figure out. Because somebody's got to guard Bam. And I don't know they have anybody else who can guard. I mean, Gallinari can't guard Bam.
No, well, nobody else can.
Right.
That's the dilemma they're in. See, and this is the other thing, too, when Capella gets back, you know, if you don't have a quote-unquote set starting lineup, in a game like this, Capella could take Bam, he could take Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You know, that's another way to look at it, too, instead of saying these are my five starters. Look, again, Trey's going to start, John Collins is going to start.
Everybody else is a movable piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. They've, started the week off talking about how disappointing it was, but... Well, I guess last week we started off because college football season ended and here we are and it's supposed to be an exciting time for the Hawks and they're just not good. But they won the game on Monday. They won last night. Like Daniel said, they'll take on Miami next. I'm too busy looking at Minnesota's schedule for some reason.
And Miami is on a really good run, like we said.
Is that the ESPN game Friday night? I can't remember. It's not. Alex is saying no, yeah.
Think the ESPN game Monday night is the Bulls and the... And the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good one.
Bulls and Bucks, 8:00 on ESPN.
Yeah, it threw me. Miami's home games are at 8:00. That's what threw me. Okay. It'll be a 7:30 pregame here on the Superstations, 8:00 tip. And again, Steve Holdman is the best in the business, so that you'll want to listen to him. I'm telling you, last night they came back out of break. I'd never laughed so hard listening to a basketball game in my life. And he was like, they're at the monitors, and they were trying to figure out why the referees were at the monitors. And then all of a sudden, and they see the replay, and they're reacting to the replay. And Mike Conti says something like, oh, he tried to kick him. And Holman says, right in the Okongwu. I mean, he's just the best. I mean, he is just as good as it gets.
Wow.
Oh, a national treasure.
And they were struggling last night. But they finished strong and won the game.
And the Hawks.
Second straight game they've done that, too.
And got under Minnesota's skin. Defensively.
Yeah. We don't see that very – I mean, when you talk about the Hawks, you don't think tough, rugged, get after you, get under your skin group.
Yeah.
But they've done that the last couple of games.
Yeah. They have. It's exciting. I think. Hopefully they finally got the season turned around. And we'll definitely be Hawks-centric moving forward, that's for sure. All right, before we take a break, I need you to promise me something.
Okay.
You don't have to make this promise because you will be here in the next segment.
Okay.
I'm talking to the audience. I'm going to utter a phrase, and you have to promise me right now before I say what I'm about to say that you're going to listen to the next segment. We'll take a break, come back, talk college basketball, that and more right after this. Thanks for sticking with us. We really appreciate it. This may be the last college basketball segment we do until March.
I didn't know if I had to listen or not.
I would appreciate the help. Okay. There's a lot of heavy lifting required in this segment.
I was going to take a break during the segment if you didn't need me.
All right. Well, let's start with the backbreaker last night, and that is Georgia Tech's loss. Oh. We'll start there. We usually start with Georgia because we carry the games, but we'll start with Georgia Tech because Georgia Tech hosted Wake Forest. Yep. Wake Forest is now 15-4, 5-3 in the conference. The Yellow Jackets are now 1-6 in the conference. And this was the game where if you're looking for a team to turn around in season, it was going to happen. You're at home. And they lost by 16 points.
Yep.
It's over. I mean, throw the dirt on it. This team ain't all the fun of the ACC championship run and being in the NCAA tournament. That's officially a memory.
Yeah, it stinks. But you watch them play. Boy, they really miss Jose Alvarado. I mean, because they don't have an alpha. They've got a bunch of guys who are solid college basketball players, but they don't have anybody who, when things get bad, is going to lead. And that's what he was last year. He's not a great player. He's a good little point guard, good college player. You know, he's in the G League now. He's getting called up to the NBA every once in a while, and he's getting some minutes. That's fine. He's a gutty little guy, but he's not a great player. But boy, he knew how to lead, and when things got tough, they knew who to look to. And Russ, that stuff is important, and it doesn't have to be just one guy. It can be multiple guys on the team, but somebody has to lead, and they don't have that right now. Michael DeVoe's a good player. Usher's a good player. They've got good players. But when things go off the rails, like we talk about a lot on our show, which we do that a lot.
Yeah.
But when they go off the rails, they don't have anybody to turn to.
No.
And you know, that game last night, I wasn't watching it intently. I was flipping back and forth and checking the score and all that.
More than I was.
But
AEW was on fire last night.
I was watching the Bulls game, but I mean, but last night, you know, they're in a game at halftime. They're down 4 points at halftime. They're in a ball game. They come out, they tie it at 41, and then it's tied at 47, and then it's a 1 point game, and then Wake Forest just slowly pulled away. They didn't have it. And look, it was a three-point game with 5 minutes left. 5.5 minutes left. Three-point game. And then Wake Forest goes on this run, and they don't have anybody to turn to say, go get a bucket to stop this run.
Right. Well, let me ask you this now. Is this a setback? Obviously last year happened, but is this a setback program-wise? Because remember Josh Pastner kept saying, I want to get old and stay old.
Yeah.
Well, this team's old. I mean, he got old. They won the ACC tournament, and they stayed old. I mean, you've got Michael DeVoe's a senior, Sturdivant's a junior, Bubba Parham's a senior, Jordan Usher's a senior.
Usher's a senior, yeah.
I mean, you've got Khalid Moore's a senior. I mean, you've got Rodney Howard's a junior, Coleman Boyd's a junior. I know those guys might not play much, but Jelani James, you've got experience on this team. So is this a step back for the program?
And right now, they're the worst team in the ACC.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is penthouse to outhouse kind of stuff.
Yeah,
here.
It really is. I mean, and look, there's still time to turn around. They still got 13 conference games left. But
you just lost at home by 14 to Wake Forest.
Well, Wake is really good.
No,
I understand that. No, your point is that. But, I mean, Wake is a really damn good team. Wake's probably an NCAA tournament team this year.
Well, to make the NCAA tournament, you have to beat good teams.
Yes, you do. That,
I mean, can't just say, oh, well, they're good. Well, then you're going to be sitting at home in March.
Well, no, they are going to be sitting home in March. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm not talking about them winning anything, but there is a chance for them to win some games to kind of keep this from being a totally lost season.
I think it already
is. Right now,
it's
a totally lost season.
I think it is. I think it's too late. It's too late. You're 1-6. I mean, you are I'm the middle of the – all right, so Wake Forest is 5-3. That's a pretty median record in the ACC right now. Granted, there's still a lot of games left.
Sure.
It's over. And then Georgia. I mean, we know.
Well, we said they would cover.
Well, and they didn't.
We said Kentucky would cover. I mean, not Auburn. Kentucky, Auburn. Auburn would cover, and they did.
21.5 points. We said they would cover. They covered in the first half.
Yeah. Auburn's really damn good.
Auburn is really good, but here's the thing about Georgia. And look, I think we all know what's going to happen with the coaching situation. But yeah, you know, I was listening to a little bit of the game last night, and you know, there was a reference to Georgia's size, and I remember last year listening to Tom Crean in the post game, and he would talk about effort and how they scored effort, and you're listening to the game. And Georgia would be getting beat, you know, double digits. And Scott Howard and Chuck Dowdle would be talking about how hard the team is playing. And that was the case again last night. You cannot question their effort. I mean, they got blown out, but you can't question their effort.
Sure.
And so that would occur. And those two would talk about, well, you know, they're still fighting. They're still scrapping. They're down 12 with, you know, 46 seconds to play, but they're still out there scrapping. And then Tom Crean would come on and question the effort. And here's the conclusion I've come to. It's not that it's a lack of effort. I think he grades effort off of things like rebounds, but he recruits small teams that can't rebound.
Right. That's recruiting.
That's all on him.
That's absolutely personnel.
Right?
And to me, that's throwing your team under the bus.
And that was kind of the knock on him coming in, and then we saw all those guys transferred out. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, how could you watch that game and say your team doesn't hustle? Is it because they didn't get the rebounds? Well, then recruit somebody that's taller than 6'5".
Well, And I'll tell you this, and I know people don't want to hear me talk about Clemson basketball.
Nope.
But their coach will talk about, we got small guards. Well, who brought
them
in?
Who brought them in?
You've been there 12 years. You brought them in.
Yeah.
And Tom hadn't been there 12 years. This is the fourth year? I think it's his fourth year. I mean, you know, we've got to start to see a turnaround a little bit. I think it's done. I think he's done.
It's done.
And – you know, going back to Georgia Tech, and is this a back? I mean, is this a program? Like, is this a bad year, or is this a bad direction?
Right.
Well, they had the one great run last year where they won the ACC tournament and they went the NCAA tournament. But where are they? And I like Josh, and Josh has been on the show, and Josh is awesome, and I'm a big fan of Josh. But, I mean, you got to look, and his career at Georgia Tech in the conference, 8-10, 6-12, 6-12. Then they won 11, and then they won 11, and now that you know, so there's been some good years. But, I mean, he's got at Georgia Tech, his overall record is 89-86.
Yeah,
this is his sixth year. So is this a bad year, or is this the direction of the program? If this is the direction of the program, and I'll say this, if this is the direction of the program, I think you got to start looking at his boss, because his boss brought in the football coach, and right now they've got the worst combination of football and basketball in the entire conference. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Because there's some bad football and basketball teams.
But he didn't hire him.
No.
Yeah.
But he did hire
the football coach.
Yeah. And if he keeps him, I'm not saying anybody should go at this point.
Yeah.
But you have to start looking at the overall scheme of things.
Well, and I'll say this too. Josh Pastner was at Memphis for 7 years. He went to the NCAA tournament 4 times. He's been at Georgia Tech 6 years.
Once.
And, I mean, and next year's the 7th. So twice is the best he can do. It's just – and I know the ACC is tougher, but still, it's not like one or two teams get to go to the tournament. It's a tough league, but
right.
You can still put seven or eight teams in.
Yeah, it's not nearly as tough a league as it used to be.
No.
But, and, Russ, it's not even, you know, I know a lot of people don't care about this tournament. I do because I think it's fun. The NIT is still an event. They've only been to the NIT once.
I didn't know where you were going with
right?
that.
They've only been to the NIT
yeah, okay,
once.
Sure. Nobody cares about that.
But, I mean, you've only been to postseason twice, and he's not going this year.
No. No.
Now, they did have the postseason ban the one year, so they would have gone to the NIT that year. They wouldn't
but
have
nobody cares about NIT.
Nobody cares about the NIT.
That
I do, cares. But nobody cares.
No, yeah, that's not. I mean, I seriously, like, could you imagine walking into your, like, end-of-season evaluation with the athletic department, and they're like, we just need to see some more NCAA tournaments. And you're like, but look at my NITs. Like, nobody wants to
unless you win the damn thing.
still people don't care.
Well, there's the debate.
Congrats, you're the 65th best team in the country.
Here's the debate.
Well, I guess it's 69th now.
Would you rather win the NIT or go to the NCAA tournament and lose in the first round?
Lose in the
first round of the NCAA tournament all day long.
Because the anticipation and the buildup is there.
Yep.
The NIT, what channel is it on? What time do we play?
You're going to be on ESPN
week. I thought they were playing on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Then you're
going to
play on Thursday on NBC Sports Network.
Oh, wait, they had to move the championship game because the rodeo's in town. Yeah, nobody cares about the NIT.
They ain't having a damn rodeo in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, they still play it there?
Yeah, they do.
It just sounded good, so I went
it. Did sound good. It was good.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. A little bit more Georgia football talk, a little bit of a twist. Another reason I'm glad Georgia won the national championship.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I hadn't heard this yet.
Yeah, that and more as we continue right after this. .749, Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you here on the Midday Sports Zone. I came across this story. This actually happened, came out a couple days ago, but nobody's really talking about it. So I guess that's why I was kind of slow to come across it. But William Mott, or Mott, M-O-T-E, the long snapper for Georgia, was arrested and charged with damage to property. Destroying property. And no, this isn't going to turn into a hot take. Kirby Smart said there's going to be property destroyed tonight, and the player went and destroyed property. That was a reference to Larry Munson. So all you sensationalist drama queens out there, just pipe down.
Yes.
But you can go and read the story. He got drunk. He kicked in the door of a law office. He had been drinking at a bar. This is what college kids do. His alibi or lack of alibi to police. He said he saw a homeless person that he was trying to help him get warm. So you broke a window and kicked in a door. Okay. Not saying I'll buy that, but whatever. That happened, you know, and whatever consequences, charges, so on and so forth. You know, whatever happens with William happens. But the point I'm making is another one of those BS excuses we used to hear. Well, the Athens-Clarke County Police Department's out to get our players, and that's why we can't win a national championship. Gone. Can't say that anymore.
Oh my God, I used to hate that.
That was probably one of my least favorite.
Yeah, that.
Because what it would turn into is, well, the thugs in Alabama can do whatever they want. I mean, come on. It has nothing to do with that.
Has nothing to do with that. And I just, the excuse making when things don't go your way in college sports is laughable.
Oh, everybody does.
Right. I'm not picking on Georgia.
I'm sure Tuscaloosa is Birmingham Talks Radio right now is full of.
Well, I don't know if you heard last week. Well, we talked about the guy that said Alabama should be cleared the national champion because they they scored two more points than Georgia
right.
in the two games.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
You know,
I forgot about
and
that.
And we
guy.
Talked about that leading up. If Georgia lost the first game and won the second game, nobody's going to care. And nobody cares they lost the SEC championship game. Because they won the championship. So, yeah, I the whole excuse-making. But Georgia fans, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Because you've got the title. You've got the banner.
That's it. And the police aren't out to get you.
The police are not out to get you.
No, are there police out to get college students? Sure.
Sure.
And if football,
and that's everywhere.
That's I've lived it in Milledgeville. I mean, I don't know if it's still that way. I haven't been out in 20 years. But, yeah, I mean, I know... A friend of mine, his daughter has had a run-in, there's a reputation of the officer has a reputation. There was a guy when I was in college. I can't remember his name. I could tell you exactly what he looked like because every time you saw him walk into the bar, you knew what he was looking for. He was looking for trouble. I mean, that's a thing. That's a real thing. But that's not out to get the football team.
Right.
And so that's just another one of those things that goes away now that they've won a national championship.
Don't have to talk about that anymore.
That's nice. I'm starting to understand where J-Rad's coming from about he can just relax, because I feel like now I can just relax. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation about why they can't get over the hump. It doesn't have anything to do with policing, but we don't have they're over the hump, so we don't have to have any of those conversations
we don't
anymore.
Ever have to talk about Nick being in Kirby's head anymore?
Yeah, right, oh, that one. Yes.
Ever.
Yes. We don't have to do any more Kirby Smart to Mark Richt comparisons.
Nope.
We don't have to do it with five-star quarterbacks.
Nope.
We don't have to hear about Jake Fromm and Justin Fields anymore, or Josh Fields.
Oh,
for
my
that
gosh,
matter.
Yes, that
we one. We don't have to hear about any of that stuff anymore.
And I love Mark Richt, but he can't sniff Kirby's.
No, there's no comparison.
Kirby won a national title.
There's no comparison.
That's right.
There is no. We went over the list. Mack Brown, Jimbo Fisher, Dabo Swinney, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, right? That's the list. Les Miles is not at Kansas anymore.
Right.
And that's the list.
That is the list.
Two, three, four. There's five. It. That's the list. It's over. It's all over.
Isn't it sweet not to have to worry about that kind of silly stuff anymore?
Yes.
Now you just
at least not for a year.
Now you just have to worry about who the quarterback is.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That's over too. That's over too. And as soon as Caleb Williams commits to USC, we really don't have to worry about that conversation anymore.
We know he is.
Is he?
I think so.
I don't think he is.
You don't think so?
No. You want to talk? We can talk about that. I read an article about it yesterday. I came across some interesting information, but
really?
I think so. It's interesting to me.
I mean, no.
But I mean, it's a USC quarterback talk. But I mean, I guess we could tie it to Georgia. But I did see an interesting quote from his dad yesterday.
Really?
That led me to do research.
I have not looked into this. I haven't cared enough about it, to be honest.
Right. That's why I didn't really bring it up.
But I just assumed he was going to USC.
Well, quickly, before we get to the top of the hour, there was a comment, and I'm going to be paraphrasing because I don't have the article in front of me, but it was basically referencing a quarter system. And that they wanted Caleb to go. This is recent now. This is like an article from yesterday. And saying that you might see a decision by the end of the week, you might not. But that they wanted him to be in the best place for his NFL career. And that they wanted to see how some of the coaching carousel at the NFL level shook out as guys come back down into college. And they referenced the quarter system. Schools of note on the quarter system. Northwestern, Washington, and Oregon. I thought that was interesting. May not mean anything. Haven't heard those schools associated, but yeah. So there's your Caleb Williams talk for today. Back with phone lines are open 478-646 ESPN. Back with more in the Midday Sports Zone right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1.
Hour number two in the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you here. The phone lines, they are open. 478-646 ESPN is the number. Stetson Bennett coming back as the quarterback at the University of Georgia. JT Daniels in the transfer portal, according per reports. Let's see if he's in the 247 portal. Nope. Still not in the 247 portal. But that's not the real portal. But Jermaine Burton is. And those announcements came at the same time yesterday.
They came pretty close together.
But I mean, he's transferring away. I don't think, and Bobby made this point earlier this week. I think it'll be the summer before you actually see. I don't think he's in the portal. I'm starting to wonder if he's just telling people he's going to be in the portal.
Right. He might not be in it yet.
Because if he gets his degree, if he finishes his degree and has that in May, he can transfer then and not sit out. Or, well, let me back up, apply for a waiver because he's a graduate. He may still have to sit out. He's used his one-time transfer. But nonetheless, Stetson Bennett's your quarterback at the University of Georgia. 478-646 ESPN. Wesley and Perry, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Pretty good. How about y'all?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
What's up?
Man, I have a dramatic hot take, but I have to preface it with I went to Georgia for 4 years. I watched this team, you know, I went through the heyday with Ty Gurley and all that.
Okay.
And blows my mind that people are, you know, bashing Stetson and not wanting Stetson to be our quarterback this year. And so I want to draw a parallel in between him and a couple of quarterbacks, and y'all tell me what's the difference.
Okay.
And, you know, so I'm going to name them. Kyler Murray, Pat Mahomes, Bryce Young, and Russell Wilson, you know, all mobile quarterbacks. And then Stetson Bennett. Only one of them has shredded Alabama. One of them didn't have a pedigree coming out of high school, and one of them has a national championship. So if you look at all those quarterbacks, they're all eerie similar, and you can tell me that Stetson doesn't have an arm, but I saw him throw an out route to Jermaine Burton.
Yes.
Wait.
He's not talking about us.
No, I know. Thank you. For God's sakes, thank you for saying that. The whole Stetson's a check down quarterback that we've been fighting against. We're so glad somebody else sees it. He's not a check down guy. He does have a good arm. This is all based on that he wasn't a five star coming out of high school.
And he dropped two in the trash can, one to Adonai Mitchell for a touchdown and one to pick to get him into the red zone.
Yep.
And you want to come at me with, man, you know, you got Carson Beck, Vandergriff, all those guys that look the part. If you give any of those quarterbacks I named plus Stetson Carson Beck's frame, he is no less than a third rounder. But for some reason, because he doesn't have this pedigree, everybody is belly aching. And I call them Walmart Georgia fans because, I mean, I got skin in the game and everybody else that, you know, the loud minority that buys their stuff at Walmart and tells us how terrible he is. I just feel like I got a little more skin in the game, and I'm absolutely happy that he's coming back because I honestly think that there's a chance that he is the same caliber as those guys I named. Plus, when he hugged Bryce Young, he was about an inch and a half taller than him.
Right.
But only one of them doesn't have the pedigree.
Right.
But one of them has a national championship, too.
100%. So
give me that guy 10 out of 10 times.
Hey, Wesley, we appreciate
the call.
Thank
you, Wesley. You're caller of the year.
Yes, Stetson Bennett's too short. No, the translation, Stetson Bennett doesn't have five stars and then go to San Mateo High School. That's right. I mean,
Stetson Bennett's too short, but
you can see him standing next to each other. And it's like, I mean, it's just... It's I even had people. Full disclosure, I had friends when Adonai Mitchell made that catch. It was a great catch, but they had been on that, you know, you got to have a five star quarterback train, and they were saying, well, I don't know. I said, wow, that was a heck of a throw by Stetson. I guess maybe you don't have to have a five star quarterback to win a national title. Oh no, looked like a pretty good catch to me.
It was a great catch, but it was the ball's got to get to him first. And if he didn't have a strong arm, he wouldn't have been able to get it to him.
I tell you, man, if there's one thing for me that the way I view things that has changed in the last year and a half to 2 years, I guess I was naive enough to think it really was about results and it really was about what happened on the field and the Stetson Bennett saga. The fact that we're still having this conversation even after they won a national championship with Stetson Bennett as the quarterback just proves my point. It ain't all about winning for some people.
No, it's not. It is for Wesley.
Thank
God Wesley called. Wesley's the man. And here's the thing. Wesley used the phrase, and I'll use it. Looks the part. Okay? If Carson or Gunner or Brock, they look the part, right? If they come in and they beat out Stetson and take the job, they're going to play.
Period.
Kirby's going to play the best player.
Oh, he doesn't know how to handle quarterbacks, Daniel.
I'm going to go slam my head up against the wall.
Don't.
I mean,
don't. Please don't.
The goal is to win the national championship, right? What else? The goal, there's no other goal that's more important than winning the national championship. Well, you got to win the recruiting title, no?
It helps.
You got to put guys in the NFL.
It helps.
All of those spin off winning games and winning a national title.
Yeah.
And Kirby just did that.
Right. And that's all that should matter.
So the whole crap about Kirby doesn't know how to handle quarterbacks, Kirby's this and Kirby's that, we can put all that to bed. They won a championship.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just this year in the National Football League, you had a coach in Matt Nagy that was fired. He was forced to play Justin Fields at quarterback, and that's a reason the Bears struggled, because he's not ready to be an NFL quarterback. And it's that five-star pet. It's the same thing. It's bled over into the National Football League. And the reason I'm bringing up Justin Fields is because you still have people asking these questions about Stetson Bennett. And Justin Fields is one of their favorite go-tos. Justin Fields played Alabama in a national championship game. He was 17-33 for 194 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions. Decent. Stetson was better.
Stetson was better.
I mean, I know one year to the next it's not the same defense, but it just there are so many narratives that are pushed down our throats like collectively in national media that people believe this stuff to the point where even when they see it with their own eyes, yeah, they still question it.
That's the thing. Look, if you wanted to question, can Georgia win a national title with Stetson Bennett at quarterback? If you wanted to question that, you could question it all the way up till January 20th. You can't question it anymore.
Nope, you can't.
It's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's not, you got to be a five-star. No, there's a fact.
Yeah.
They won a national title with Stetson Bennett playing quarterback. And it's almost February, and we're still talking about
it. And we'll be talking about it. You need to calm down because we're going to do this in March and April and May and June and July and August and September. And God forbid if they lose a game.
My doctor is going to pace yourself, sir. Up my blood pressure medicine.
you need to really, really pace yourself here. From Coach Lee on Twitter, he's so excited South Carolina is going to win the national championship next season. They have a five-star quarterback. That's a fact. 478-646, they really do. 478-646 ESPN. Bobby's in Macon. What's up, man?
Hey, Russ. Danny, how you all doing? Danny, you got to calm down now. Just take my position. But at this point, man, I don't – it's definitely coming back. Welcome back. I really, you know, want to talk about that anymore. But Russ and Danny, it's kind of like, Russ, I'm going to put it for you. Remember when John Cena was at its height?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everybody just got tired of Cena. It just got, and nobody had a reason why. It's just the fans turned on him, the crowds turned on him, and all of a sudden, he was the villain. Mm-hmm. And John Cena didn't do nothing. He was still Cena. It's just, I guess, just people was tired of it and wanted to see something new. But my call today to see about Jermaine Burton, I was more concerned with him than with Stetson coming back. You know, that guy is one of the deep threats and kind of lived up to the billing. And I'm going to hate to see it leave. And I hope more of our receivers leave because, you know, of that offense that's wrong. But, you know, for a guy that has gotten a national championship, did what he said he was going to do, I guess now it's about him because you're not going to first-round draft pick Georgia, you know, outside of A.J. Green. You're just not going to be a first-round draft pick receiver at Georgia. It's 2002 since we had a 1,000-yard receiver, and that was 1,002 yards. So, you know, to get the numbers, you're just going to have to go somewhere else. I think why Pickens went pro, I think that's why Burton is, you know, I expect him to end up at LSU with Cartoons hating him, but I hate to see that caliber of kid go because he feel like his skill set will be utilized him to the next level earlier at UGA.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, Bobby, but considering what Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey and the fact that Eric Gilbert might be a part of things, I mean, yeah, you hate to see a kid that talented go, but I'm not saying that. I mean, there's a lot of potential there. His yards per reception this year, he didn't have enough receptions to rank nationally in average yards per catch, but it would have been top 20. I mean, he's definitely a deep threat, but it's not like they don't have players.
No, they have the players, but sometimes it's having a player like that makes it easier for Ladd McConkey and A.D. Mitchell to get over.
Yeah.
Because you're going to put so much time into Burton.
Yeah.
I just don't want the other receivers, this to be a trend where they feel like they have to leave because they're not going to get the numbers, you know, to go high in NFL.
Sure. Hey, Bobby, we appreciate the phone call. No, I just think you have to have somebody on the staff that knows how to sell that. Like, if you want to come here and try to be an alpha, this is the place to do it because we're not going to throw the ball 50 times a game.
Right.
I mean, it's about, again, for a kid like Jermaine Burton, it's not all about winning. Okay, well, if you're trying to me, if I'm a coach and I'm trying to win a national championship, I don't want that guy on my team.
Right.
Like, so much of college football is placating to high school players to get them to the next level. Like, as a fan, why should you care about that? Other than the fact that, okay, if you want to be a high-profile program, kids only want to come play for you if you feel like you can get them to the next level. But smart kids are going to know they could go to the next level from anywhere. So if I have smart kids driven to win a championship, okay, go get your stats at Oklahoma State, man. Yeah. Good luck.
I hope you
make $1 million. I'm trying to win a championship.
Right. Look, Jermaine Burton's a fine player, but I don't go into it like as a Clemson fan. I wouldn't go into a game against Georgia going, oh my God, how do we stop Jermaine Burton? I wouldn't. He's a good player.
He's down on the list.
But he doesn't scare me to death.
If Eric Gilbert comes back, Eric Gilbert and Brock Bowers are at the top of that list.
Brock Bowers scares me.
Jermaine Burton is not on that list.
Jermaine Burton gets hit.
He's got the potential to be that.
Right. But right now, in this offense, he would get his stats because Brock Bowers and Eric Gilbert are going to get double teamed.
Right. And again, the Eric Gilbert thing's an assumption.
Right.
But he's there. He's in class. He was at the parade. So I get what Bobby's saying in that it's going to be hard for Georgia to recruit quote unquote elite talent at wide receiver. But I mean, are you telling me Brock Bowers isn't elite talent? Is it because he's a tight end?
I mean, George Pickens was elite talent.
Right.
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 They recruited him.
I get it.
I mean,
they've been bringing in 4 and 5 star receivers. Not all the guys have panned out.
They haven't panned out, right?
But I mean,
would you rather? Maybe I'm a little biased. You give me Kearse Jackson. I can win with a lot of Kearse Jacksons.
Yeah,
I can win a lot of games with Kearse Jacksons on my team.
Yeah. Well, do we need to have the Tom Brady wide receiver conversation again?
Not at all.
Let's get in. Oh, we're running late, but I don't want to make George wait anymore. 478-646 ESPN. George is in Warner Robins. Hey, George, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good. What's on your mind?
I want to come back and talk a little more about that Stetson Bennett. I'm the same way. I don't understand why we're still having that conversation. I've been listening to the narrative. Everybody going, what is it going to be weird if he's standing on the sideline with a clipboard? And my mind thinking that along the same lines is that Kirby's a really great coach and won a national title, wouldn't that be a good problem to have if you had a guy with that kind of caliber standing on the sideline? I mean, that makes you feel like, hey, we're in a great position because the quarterback's obviously really, really good. So, you know, and then you got the guy backing him up. If he gets injured, and I mean, you're sitting there going, you know, I don't understand how this would be a bad thing. I feel like it's a really great place for the Georgia to be.
Yeah. No, we appreciate the call, George. Appreciate you hanging on. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the best man's going to get the job.
Right.
But you've got to, I always talk about with that quarterback stuff, you've got a baseline for what the quarterback is at Georgia coming into next year. There's not a lot of experience behind him. But if one of those guys beats Stetson Bennett out, you know they're good. Because you know Stetson's good.
And they thought going into the season and last year that JT was the better quarterback. And, you know, they're going to play the best player. It's not like they just said, okay, Stetson's our guy. Come hell or high water, we're going to stick with Stetson. JT was the starter at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And he couldn't keep the job. Now, why was that? Well, I don't want to talk about rumors.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Right, doesn't matter. But Stetson came in and took control of the job and won the national title. Yep. And if one of these kids beats him out in the spring, they're going to play.
That's simple. It's
not hard.
And as George said, it's a good problem to have.
Yes,
it is. We'll take a break. More phone calls as we continue right after this. 1220, Russ and Daniel back with you. Midday Sports Zone. 478-646-ESPN is the number. Let's go to Ken in Cumming. How you doing today?
Driving in Atlanta and it's raining, so I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, it's take me now. Great.
Hey, Ken, did y'all get snow?
We did, Daniel. We got about 2 inches, and it wasn't anything. But of course, you couldn't find milk or bread in any store within a 20-mile radius. It was pathetic. It was so sad. You know, grocery stores love it. First of all, I guess I'm on a 12-step program because I am message boy guy, but. You know, I try to be rational. I told that to Russ. You know, and I got to tell you, my circle of friends, we cannot be more excited that Stetson Bennett is coming back. And if you are a true Georgia fan, I don't know. You know what? You need to turn in your UGA card, because as far as I'm concerned, guys, you look at what we had. You know, and my big thing with Stetson Bennett, guys, is the intangibles. That team went through a wall for that guy. I mean, how many Sawyer got up and talked about it? I mean, you know, you heard Jordan Davis talk about it. So you've got a guy coming back who the team loves, who built a foundation of, like, togetherness, team, a bond, if you will. And he's going to bring that back into the spring.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling – and guys, we're so far, knock on wood, I'm using my head – you know, we haven't really lost a lot of O-linemen yet. Sure, we got some going to graduation, but you got Michael Morris coming up. Lord willing, Amaris Mims sticks around. You've got, you know, Broderick Jones. You've got Van Fran. You know, the list is endless as far as offensive linemen. And I'm going to tell you something else. That caller that called in about wide receivers, I get it. But you know what? We certainly aren't having a problem getting tight ends in.
No.
I mean, you know, Bowers, Delp, you're going to have Sean Washington. I don't know. I mean, I think some of that stuff maybe sometimes is a misnarrative, but that's my opinion. I'm excited. I really think a vast majority of UGA supporters are excited he's coming back, and if you're not, I'd love to sit down and have a cup of coffee and find out why.
Will you tape that for us or record it?
That?
Will you record that for us? I'd like to see that.
And in closing, guys, I'd just like to tell you, that I will pay you guys if you won't have any more college basketball segments until come March, okay?
All right. I'll do anything for cash.
I know you will, you rascal. Y'all have a great day. I'll right, see you. Bye-bye.
See you, kid. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, that's very well said about the – you know, the when we talked about – the 10 players have entered the portal since Monday. Number of underclassmen have – declared for the draft, and that's college football in this day and age. You're going to have a lot of roster turnover, but having your quarterback back, especially somebody like that the players rally around, and having that continuity back is huge.
Yeah.
And look, I'll say this too: if Jermaine Burton didn't want to be there, not having him around is huge. That's not a knock on Jermaine Burton, but why would you want somebody around that doesn't want to be there?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
you're not going to get anything out of that person.
Right. I don't understand. I mean, look, you don't want to lose good players. I'm not saying that. But the freak out when somebody transfers, I don't get. I mean, if somebody doesn't want to be on your team, then why would you want them? You're not going to get the best effort out of that person.
Yeah.
Nope. If they're not on your team. I mean, if we all know how that is. If you're somewhere where you work, And you don't feel appreciated and you don't feel like it's your best spot, you're not going to give it the best effort.
No. I mean, remember what we were talking about with the subconscious in the SEC championship game about how Alabama had to win that game?
Yeah.
And Georgia, you didn't want to lose that game and play with fire, but as it played out, you could lose that game and still go win a national championship. And there's a subconscious that's going to be there that factors in. I think it's the same thing. Like, you can be a professional and check all your boxes and put forth effort, but if you really don't want to be there, that's going to be in your subconscious. It just is. So anyway, I don't want to get off on a psychology kick, but yeah, you don't have to worry about that anymore. And as we said, regardless, before any of this started, regardless of what decisions are made, there may not be experience coming in behind it, but there'll definitely be talent. 478-646 ESPN. Jeremy in Memphis. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing?
Doing good. How y'all doing?
Great, man. What's on your mind?
So I got several things in the stuff, this George Austin situation and stuff we've been talking about. First of all, if Burton were to leave, I don't know if people like, oh, well, he's a me guy, just cares about number, not championships. I mean, Jameson Williams, he left Ohio State, and he didn't go from Ohio State to Alabama for some doggone championship because he could have won one at Ohio State. He went there because he wanted more catches. And you know what? It benefited Alabama. So I don't think Jameson is like a me player and goes to Alabama and doesn't help them. He almost got them a national championship. So I think it's about opportunity, and that same because it's about opportunity, it doesn't mean they don't want to win a championship.
No. Anyway. I wasn't talking about it from the player's perspective. I was talking about it from the team he's leaving's perspective.
Yeah. And so, and I'm not saying you just in general, but I don't want people to think he's like a self.
No, yeah, no. He's got an opportunity for himself, and he wants to take advantage of it, knock yourself out.
And here's the thing I think that would kind of fix that, and I'll say this twice so people hear this. I realize we won the national championship. I'll say it again. I realize we won the national championship. But I called a couple of weeks ago, or a week or two ago, and I was critical about Monken for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't felt like we used the whole field. We didn't throw down the field that much. But secondly, I said I thought he ran a slower offense, and meaning we never seemed to snap the ball unless it was inside 10 seconds on the play clock. And I went back and looked a couple of days ago. This is astounding. Out of 130 Division 1A schools, Georgia was 119 in plays per game. And what's incredible about that is Georgia's defense kept the offense on the field because no one ever did anything against the defense. So they, for them to be 119, they had to work hard at that. And in comparison, Alabama was 12th in yards in plays per game, and Ole Miss was 4th, just a couple of other SEC offensive teams that were good.
What if so I told you Georgia's yards per play was higher than both of those teams?
Well, that is true to some extent, but I won't.
No, I mean, it is true, not to some extent. I mean, it's a fact.
Okay, but then you look at Alabama, for example, and this goes back to how you run your offensive philosophy. Jameson Williams, 68 catches. Minchie, 96 catches.
So what's your point, Jeremy?
Yeah, Jeremy.
What's your point?
What's your point there?
The point is, if you run more plays per game, if you run a style offense like Alabama, then those receivers get more opportunities, and maybe they're not as willing to transfer is all I'm trying to say. There's some more. Alabama ran about 15 to 20 more plays this year than Georgia.
I understand that. But if you're from Georgia's perspective, why would you run more plays to keep Jermaine Burton from transferring? That's not your goal, is to keep people from transferring. It's to win national championships.
No, but I think you can have a better. You can always look to get better on both sides.
Sure,
defensively we were great, but I'm just trying. Here's what I don't want to happen. Just we keep saying every year, well, you won a national championship, but you should always look to improve.
Sure.
And I'm just saying offensively, I think instead of snapping the ball with 7 seconds on the play clock, we can snap it at 20, and you can run more plays. That's not about a quarterback. I don't care if you're playing a quarterback. It's more the philosophy of the game. So I'm not ripping Bennett or anything about that. I don't care about that. I'm just saying you run more plays, and you're more efficient on offense is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, actually, we appreciate the call. You might have more yards, and players might have more stats, but you can't be more efficient. Georgia averaged 6.9 yards per play. The only two offenses that were more efficient than Georgia's were Ohio State and Coastal Carolina.
They're pretty damn efficient.
I mean, Alabama was 16th at 6.3 per yards per play. He mentioned Ole Miss. I might have missed Ole Miss. I'm not seeing Ole Miss.
He said Ole Miss was 4th in plays.
Plays per game, plays but I'm talking game. About yards per play.
Right, Ole Miss was not good in yards per play.
They
weren't efficient.
I'm trying.
That's why they had to go for it on fourth down every damn time they had fourth down.
Where? I'm just not seeing Ole Miss on my list here. I didn't know that one was getting thrown out there.
But if you're Georgia, and Jeremy's right, you do want to get better. Sure, I'm not saying 100%. You want to stay static. But maybe Alabama needs to do what Georgia's doing. I mean,
help out their defense.
Help their defense a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Ole Miss was 37th in yards per play at 6 yards per play, almost a full yard less per play than Georgia's offense.
Lot of plays, but they weren't very efficient.
Right. Exactly. 478-646 ESPN, Kurt and Warner Robins. Hey, Kurt, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. You were just about talking about what I was calling to talk about. It seems like everybody is always still setting us up to the bar of what Alabama is and was. And the last thing I remember is Georgia won the national championship. So
sometimes I have to remind myself of that too, Kurt.
Kurt clearing it up for us.
So, I mean, yes. I mean, do they have injuries? Absolutely. Did a few things go Georgia's way? Absolutely. But, I mean, in the whole scheme of things, there's no asterisks by when it comes to the 2022 national championship. So, I mean, it's not just fans; it's everyone. It's the entire sports. I mean, the entire sports world. We are still being compared to Alabama, mm-hmm. And for now, we have taken that crown. So yep. I don't get it.
I'm with you, Kurt. I don't get it. I mean, you don't want to relax and stay static, but I beat Alabama. I'm not going to be comparing myself to Alabama.
Yeah.
If I'm a Georgia fan right now, yeah. I'm not doing it. Now, maybe this season starts next year. We do. But right now, I'm living in the glow until August.
Right.
I don't understand all this.
Well, there seems to be this narrative out there that, I mean, we heard the same thing. If he doesn't, you know, play JT Daniels, elite quarterbacks aren't going to want to come to Georgia. That hasn't been the case. Kirby Smart's always had a 4 or 5-star guy coming. And you almost people want to say the same thing about the receiver position. Well, that's not true. I mean, you don't want to lose a talented player. And Jeremy's right. You always want to try to get better. But you don't run an offense just to placate a player. Like, that's where you start getting yourself in trouble. There's a lot of schools out there that are going to turn in top 5, top 10 recruiting classes. And they're going to bring kids in because they can get them the ball 75 times in the season. And they're going to help them go into the NFL and make lots of money. And there is nothing wrong with that. But for me, and for the teams that I cheer for, that I'm invested in, that's great for that player. And it's great that that coach can provide that player that opportunity. But as a fan, shouldn't you be more worried about winning national championships?
I would.
I don't care if my team punts on second down every game. As long as they win the championship, who cares?
Well, we were talking about Ole Miss there a minute ago. And it infuriates me to watch them play and go for it on fourth down from their own 20. And fourth down. Remember that Alabama game, how many times they went for it on fourth down? And I'm just like, why are you doing this? It's so reckless. If they made it all the time, I'll buy in if it's working. Well, it wasn't working. Same thing here with Georgia. What you're doing is working at the highest level, at the ultimate level. What you did this season worked. Why would you complain about it?
Yeah.
Now, again, do you need to adjust if things? Yes,
sure.
You can always adjust. But for the 2021 season, things could not have gone better for Georgia other than winning the SEC title. I get that. You blew out everybody else you played. You had one close game in the regular season. And you won the national championship by beating Alabama. Why would you sit there and compare yourself to Alabama when you're the champion?
Now, Alabama should be comparing themselves to you.
Yes.
We'll take a break. Back with more right after this. I think this is starting an interesting philosophical conversation. I want to say, before we take our next phone call, I want to say this. Because you hear a lot of coaches talk about plays per game. I want to pull what little hair I have left out every time I hear that. I can't remember. It was the big high school game, the highest classification championship game. And the coach of the losing school before the game was talking about how many plays his team needed to run.
Just recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Travis Hunter, the team they played against. I can't even remember. But anyway.
Okay, gotcha.
So I decided to look up the top 5 schools in plays per game in college football in 2021. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Tell me if you would trade places with this school. I don't care who you root for, and you may root for one of these schools. I'm not picking on you, but would you want to trade places?
If you do cheer for one of these teams, we are going to pick on you.
Well, not necessarily. No, we're not. You might, because you're a troll. But no,
that's fine.
We'll start at 5 and work our way back. East Carolina, anybody want to swap with the Pirates?
No.
Okay. Number 4, Ole Miss. There may be a lot of teams out there that want to
swap
with
Ole
Miss
this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a good year.
Yeah, they did. Number 3, Duke. Anybody want Duke?
No.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Not until March.
All right. Number 2, North Texas. Any takers?
No.
No? Okay. You want a drum roll for the number 1 most plays run per game in college football?
Yes.
The Wake Forest Demon Deacons had a pretty good year.
Had a pretty good year this year.
All right. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's your plays per game.
Didn't Manu the Slender play for North Texas? Did you see Necessary Roughness?
No, I was going to say that was Necessary. They had still my all-time favorite kicker for that team. They had the best kicker ever. Kathy Ireland,
yeah. Manu the Slender was my favorite
one. That's a great movie.
Rob Schneider was the radio guy.
That was fantastic. 478. 6-4. I got to go watch that again. I hadn't seen it in years. It is so stupid, it's good.
Yes.
478-646 ESPN. Jim and Kathleen. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, can I talk to you about Georgia and Alabama without getting yelled at and getting a promo made?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the promo part, but I'll try not to
yell. Well, it depends on if you set me off, because apparently that's the only time we make promos anymore, Jim. So.
Yeah,
tread lightly.
I can almost call my shot when I'm going to get Bill so riled up he wants to put himself back on his promo. But anyway, my point to Georgia is not sour grapes. I really don't. But I think Georgia knows in the SEC championship game, a healthy Alabama put 41 on their defense. And their offense felt like, when teams do this to us, can we keep up with them? Well, the script was flipped in the national championship game, and they played us great. They pressured Bryce well. They forced Bryce off his spots. He didn't make the best passes. Jameson gets hurt. We drop balls. Our receivers aren't ready for that stage, and we lose. We lose fair and square. Georgia beat us. Georgia's the best team in the country. But they also know what's not coming back next year, a ton of defensive talent and a ton of inexperienced players offensively, in my opinion, especially running back-wise. And Donnie Mitchell and some of those guys don't have a ton of catches. Brock Bowers does, but some of their receivers, I mean, they're just not difference makers outside of Brock.
Because of their stats?
Yeah, and their offense. They don't spread the ball out enough offensively with a ton of catches. I just don't think third and eight you're going to lean on Mitchell to go get open.
Okay, like, Jim, you do realize – I mean, I know you're an Alabama fan, but you do realize there's like 127 schools that don't have a good plan for third and eight, right?
But you're Georgia. You're top of the heap now. You're recruiting number one, number two for the last 5 years. That's what I'm saying.
And they've won a national championship.
They did.
That's the end of the discussion as far as – for me.
But they leaned on their defense to win. That's what I'm saying. And they
what's
know
wrong
that
with that?
Not coming back.
What's wrong? I mean, yeah, they're going to have to reload just like everybody else. But I mean, y'all are calling in and having a conversation like they've won the national championship the wrong way. I'm confused.
No, look.
Let me say this real quick.
Now Russ is triggered, so I don't have to yell. I don't have to yell.
I think the rifle was.
Chris, get ready.
Yeah, I think
make
maybe
a promo for Russ.
I think the hammer was pulled back. I don't know that I'm triggered.
Russ is yelling.
You're
shook.
Am I yelling?
You're shook.
So anyway, no. But this is the thing. When you talk, like, all right, I don't watch ESPN and I don't consume a lot of the stuff, so I don't know if this is where that's coming from, but this narrative that's out there that you've got to run X amount of plays and you've got to have this, that, and the other. Look, the people, if you go back and you watch the pregame coverage of the national championship game, every last talking head on ESPN was contradicting themselves after the game because they're not talking to the narrative of what college football was in 2019. Okay. After 2019, you got to spread it out. You got to do this. You got to have an offensive coach. You got it. Okay. Well, Georgia changed that now. All right. So those take a step back from all of that. And let's quit talking about Georgia's offense like there's something wrong with it. All right. Ohio State, 7.8 yards per play. Coastal Carolina, 7.3 yards per play. Western Kentucky, Georgia, 6.9 yards per play. All right.
And they're fourth, right?
Right.
In the country in yards per play.
And here's the thing. Georgia is a defense-first program. Alabama's not anymore. And I think maybe Alabama fans are a little bit worried because Kirby Smart's still doing it the way Nick Saban used to do it and beat Nick Saban doing it that way. You can play defense with offense. You cannot play defense, or you can't play offense with defense. You can't. But I can limit your possessions. I can limit how many snaps you get. I can keep your offense off the field with my offense. And if you're doing it at 6.9 yards per play, you're doing it efficiently. I'm not saying you snap the ball at one just so you can point at the stat sheet at the end of the game and say, ha, 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 we won time of possession.
And that's, punt on fourth down.
Right, that's not what I'm saying. But if you can move the football at that pace and score points, it's going to help your defense.
Well, it's complementary football. I mean, how many times do we talk about coaches say, use that phrase? That's the most important phrase in football.
Yeah.
It's playing complementary football.
Right.
And Georgia's offense this year, it wasn't as exciting as some people wanted it to be, or what I thought it was pretty damn exciting myself. It wasn't. It's complementary to its defense. And he's right. the defense loses a lot.
Oh, that there's no question.
So but, they're going to have to change the formula right. next year. And nobody is saying...
I don't think they do, though.
Well, I mean, maybe tweak. Don't say change. But they might have to tweak. They're going to have new faces on defense.
Nobody's won back-to-back national titles in a decade.
Right. So there's going to be new faces. But you don't think there's talent on that defense that's
right.
coming up?
Why would Why would you change? Why?
Well, you have to tweak a little bit every.
Oh, I mean, I understand. Well, based on the personnel, sure. But why would you philosophically change?
No, they're not going to philosophically change. They don't have to.
Right. They don't
want it.
Yeah. And they can spread the field. They can condense the field. They can do it a lot of different ways on offense. They just don't. Again, I guess for some people, Alabama, they just want it the wrong way.
Well, and nobody is saying the Georgia program is better than the Alabama program. We did not say that. We said right now Georgia's on top.
They're the national champions.
And Georgia shouldn't be comparing itself to Alabama because Alabama was the hump.
Yeah.
They got over the hump.
Right. I feel like
they don't have to worry about that anymore.
I feel like a crazy person right now. Like, are we really having this conversation?
Well, look, people know that when Clemson lost to Alabama that first time, and then they came back and beat them. And then they beat them. Then they lost to them again in the semifinals. And then they beat them in the championship game. So they played four times and they split. And people said, oh, Clemson's the program to watch now. No.
Yeah.
Alabama's always the program to watch.
Yeah.
We're just all kind of living. But that didn't mean Clemson had to compare itself to Alabama anymore because they had beat them twice.
Right.
Georgia's in the same spot. You don't have to say this is what we have to do to beat Alabama because we just saw what you had to do to beat Alabama.
Right.
And I know Alabama's wide receivers were banged up in that play, but that's football.
Yeah.
That's football.
Right.
And you can say, well, if we were healthy, well, that's a hypothetical. I don't live in hypotheticals.
I ran a 4.2.
I live in facts.
Yeah. Real quick, I'm not allowing you to comment on this next thing because I don't need you getting triggered too.
Okay.
And I'm not triggered, by the way. I was flustered.
You were shook.
I was shook. I don't even know what that means. Tony on Twitter, I don't want Bennett in the way that Daniel didn't want Kelly Bryant after he went to the Natty. All right, Tony.
Whoa.
I told you.
But I can correct facts.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
I just need you to be calm. It's okay. I've got this. Stetson Bennett won the national championship, Tony. Kelly Bryant didn't win the national championship.
Kelly Bryant didn't even go to the national championship. They lost in the semifinals.
Right. So that's not even a comparison.
Right. And they got beat in the semifinals because Alabama shut down the offense. Alabama had like 200 yards of offense and won the game 24-6, I think it was.
Yeah.
With a pick six return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's apples and oranges.
I'm starting a 12-step program.
What's that?
The first step is you have to admit that Georgia's defense gave up 500 yards to Alabama in the SEC championship.
Yes.
And we'll go from there.
Yes.
We got to take a break. We'll wrap it up right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley. Good conversation today, gang.
And we're not upset with people who don't agree with us.
No, not necessarily.
I just find it hard to believe that.
Like I said, one of the biggest changes for me in the last couple of years is I realized I was under the assumption that everybody felt like it was all about winning. And that's just not the case. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with
that. I don't agree with it. And I might get triggered. And then Chris will make a promo out of it.
That's what triggers us more than anything, is knowing that Chris might make a promo.
We're reacting in the moment. Right? And I'm going to react in the moment.
Honestly. Oh, no, I'm not going to apologize for being an honest person.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm being honest in my reaction. You know, now if I sat down with you and across the table, we sat and talked about it, I might react differently. So I'm not trying to demean anybody else for having another opinion. I just don't agree with it, and I don't understand it. I don't understand the that we're still having this conversation. I'm surprised.
I am. I'm surprised too. I am absolutely.
And I guess it's because it happened yesterday with, you know, JT going into the portal and Stetson staying.
Well, it's just, and again, coming from the standpoint of, for me, it's all about winning.
foolishly, I guess I thought that because Stetson Bennett led them to a national championship, that we were done with that. But then yesterday proved we'll still be talking about this even after Daniels is gone.
We're going to talk about this during spring practice.
I mean, if Georgia loses a game next year, the first loss they have, this is what it's going to be about. We haven't seen the team play. We don't know what Oregon's going to look like. Mississippi State's a new opponent. How much better is South Carolina? There's so much unknown going into 2022. But one thing I do know is the second Georgia loses, it's going to be because they don't run enough plays on offense. Or, you can't attract. I mean, it's like all that stuff that people said before they won the national championship about the quarterbacks, they're just saying it about receivers now. And it blows my mind. Like, just, hey, you know what? That might be a problem in 2022. Can we enjoy 2021 for just a few more months?
Yeah, probably coming out of spring practice. If you think Kirby names a starter coming out of spring, I don't know that he will. But if he does, I guess we're going to do it again then, because one of those other guys has not been named the starter.
Yeah,
I guess. And we don't even get to watch practice.
And then
watch practice.
Yeah.
And you go watch practice and you watch it with your own eyes. And you go, boy, that guy should be starting. And they start the other person. Yes, your normal reaction would be going, why? But we don't even get to watch practice. They're not going to let, and I mean we, I mean in,
anybody.
Anybody, right. Media, fan, well, they do let some, Jeff Foxworthy gets to watch practice for some reason, I guess. But they don't let the rest of us.
If you get to watch Georgia football practice, you might be a redneck.
Yes, you might be.
Oh, wow. No, I'm just kidding.
You might have some ties that the rest of us don't have. But I mean, there's just a lot out there that you know, we won't be privy to.
Right. It's just the way it's going to be. And I mean, I'm not a fan of that, but what are we going to do? We're not going to change his mind.
No, he's not going to change his mind.
You can't say Georgia's not winning a national championship because Kirby won't let the media in. I mean, it just, to me, winning is above all else. And the offense conversation is just that one is fascinating to me because I really thought a national championship might kill that one, but it obviously it's not.
It has not. And again, the whole our offense isn't exciting enough. Again, that's an opinion. Facts to me are facts. They had the fourth most efficient offense in the country this year. I guess efficient isn't good enough for some people. I don't know. They won the national title with that offense. I wouldn't care if they ran it up the middle three times a game and punted. If they still won a national title, I wouldn't care. I don't think most people do. But we'll see. And we'll see what they are next year. And if he's the starter. But it's going to be interesting. That, to me, is one of the top storylines to watch this spring. Who is Georgia's starter? Who, if they name a starter, who is the starting quarterback? I mean,
there's a part of me.
It can't be him.
There's a part of me that really wishes that they would just name Stetson Bennett the starting quarterback, just so we could stop this insanity. But I have to admit, there's a part of me that hopes he doesn't so we can keep it going. I mean, this is what we'll be talking about in March when spring practice starts. I'm telling you, and it just I'm calling it right now, on January the 20th at 12:58, 2022, if Georgia loses a football game next year, that the offenses, the plodding, boring, three clouds of dust offense that was third in the country in yards per play, almost 7 yards a play. But that's going to be the reason they lost.
Well, and look, and we talked about the defense. How many guys on that defense are gone? They've got a lot that are gone. And if the defense isn't up to what it was this past year, the offense might have to do more. But, again, they didn't turn the ball over. They averaged, third, fourth in the country in yards per play. They scored a lot of points. Russ, it's not like they won every game 14-10.
No, they blew people out. We talked about that. They were the only team in the country going into the playoffs that were top five in yards per play on offense and defense.
Yeah.
That's why they won the national championship.
complimentary football.
Both sides of the ball.
And if the defense isn't as good next year, Kirby and that staff will figure something out.
I don't know. We're out of time. Thanks for listening, as always. Tomorrow's show, we'll talk about why Freddie Freeman doesn't hit enough home runs. For Chris, for Alex, for Daniel, I'm Russ. We'll do it again tomorrow at 11. Y'all have a good one.